And it is once again one bell of the afternoon watch, the way we keep time aboard ship and the way we've kept time aboard ship for centuries. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, and this is my Christmas broadcast, and I'm going to be observing a tradition that I have followed for probably 10 years, in which I tell the story of how I acquired a Christmas tree for my much-loved icebreaker Northwind in the Antarctic. But before we get to that, I deliver greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. In particular, in this season, which is a season which is honored not only by the Christian tradition, but the Jewish tradition, and I believe others, but certainly because I'm more aware of both the Christian and the Jewish traditions. So I send greetings to Singapore on one side of the world, all the way around the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital. All of Captain Joe's people who are between all of those places and who continue today to carry out their father's business regardless of where we are in the holiday calendar. I looked at my own career and I realized that there were 4, 5, or 6 years in a row where I was either deployed or was at sea on some probably search and rescue mission, but that I and my crew, the people that I was privileged to command, were not with their families around the hearthside, if we adhere to the hearthside tradition. But instead, we were at sea, and we were in several cases battling mighty storms because the wintertime is when the weather is the worst. So my holiday greetings today go out to all in our military, all in our law enforcement communities, all of those public servants, regardless of the uniform that they wear, who are on station and watching properly, regardless of where their families are in the holiday calendar. May the mission on which you are bound be successful. May your commanding officer, your captain, bring his crew and his ship and those rescued home safe and with minimum damage, because we cannot go out into God's mighty waters or into the deep ice without incurring some damage, both psychic, physical, operational. So those are my Christmas greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, those who are out and about on their father's business in particular. You are all in the palm of my hand, because I have been there many, many times myself. The binnacle list is no shorter, nor is it any longer. But I am particularly sensitive to people who may no longer have any family. I'm aware, as I reported last week, of a retired Coast Guard officer who had died and all of whose family was gone before him. When we live a long time, our classmates, our shipmates, our family members may leave before we cross our own bar. In this last week, I just had a signal from my class correspondent, my Coast Guard Academy class correspondent, reporting the death of one of my classmates, one with whom I had lived in the cadet barracks a couple of times, and with whom I had been a member of Echo Company several times in the Academy organization. So as we live a long life, these things happen more and more frequently. And it is thus that when people with whom we have especially gone to see, in my case, shared the hazards of going to sea in troubled waters, because that's what we mostly did. It was mostly troubled waters that took us out in the first place. That when people who have been gone for a long time and then come back into our knowledge and our touching, that's especially an especially poignant thing to have happen. And I reported last week that one of my Vietnam officers had indeed come back to officer's call on the fantail of the Coast Guard cutter Ingham. So it is my wish, my hope, my desire, and my command that you reach out in particular to someone who may no longer have any family. I have said before, will say it again many times, I am the most fortunate of men. I'm surrounded by family, by friends, by shipmates, by classmates. And in fact, my home, Captain's Quarters, the home that Mary and I constructed together, is a headquarters for the very large and eclectic family that I lead, is going to be flooded with family from now until well into the new year. They're always allowed, authorized, and encouraged to bring their dogs. So we're going to have several dogs in the house along with the people. Sailor and Ellery are going to have to figure out how they're going to deal with that. But all of this is to tell you that there are people out there who are not nearly so fortunate anymore. And if you have people like that in your family, reach out to them and make a special effort to include them in whatever holiday activities you may be having in your particular family. Tomorrow is the winter solstice, and it's no accident that all of these celebrations that we have at this time of the year are connected in some way to the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, the longest one in the Southern Hemisphere. The reason why this happens is because the Earth is tilted on its axis, and I'm not going to give the four-hour lecture and seminar that I could give on this whole subject of why the seasons change on our planet. But tomorrow is the day when the days start getting longer, incrementally longer every day, until we finally get to the summer solstice, which is in June, and then everything flips again. So as the days get longer, things get warmer. In the meantime, it is snowing right outside the Gene Bosch studio with the voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streamed live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. So it's snowing out there right now, not snowing very hard, not with much conviction. But the magical Isle of Vashon has essentially two different climate zones. And I happen right now to be in the north, which is one climate zone, and Captain's Quarters are in the south, which is a separate climate zone. And somewhere around the country store is the dividing line. But I always welcome the arrival of the winter solstice. I have been in Antarctica as captain of the Coast Guard cutter Northwind during the winter solstice, and of course the sun, when you're that far south, the sun never sets. The sun shines 24 hours a day. It is an incredibly beautiful place. So before I get into a couple of stories which are troubling to me, they're troubling to me because they reflect on my particular profession, the business of command at sea. But before I do that, I'm going to observe my Christmas tradition. And that Christmas tradition is to tell the story about how it came to be that I had a Christmas tree at the masthead of the Coast Guard cutter Northwind sailing into the Ross Sea for Christmas. And I believe it was Christmas 1977, a long time ago. I've been around a long time. I hope to be around a lot longer to tell this story over and over again every Christmas. The story goes that I was sailing Northwind into the port of Wellington, New Zealand. We were making a port call there en route to breaking into the U.S. base at McMurdo, which is on the Ross Sea. And if you look on your Google Earth and your attention is diverted from finding the Wobbold Glacier, which is on the peninsula side of the Antarctic continent, that you go into Google Earth and you type in McMurdo Station or type in Hut Point. So we were stopping in the port of Wellington, the capital of the lovely country of New Zealand, and we had to heave to at the entrance to the harbor to pick up the harbor pilot. I have reported here on several times of my contacts with pilots all over the world. And because the law allows me not to take a pilot in any U.S. port, I never did. But those are other stories for other times. Go back to the story of Ever Forward and her grounding in Craighill Reach, for example. So anyway, New Zealand had then, and probably still does, mandatory pilotage. And the pilot that I happened to draw was the chief pilot for the harbor board for the port of Wellington, New Zealand. A mariner, a master, a captain of vast experience, much more than mine, in command. But as he came up to the bridge and we greeted each other, captain to captain, captain to pilot, my bridge team was well organized, and he could see that his services were not going to be particularly needed. Pilot, of course, always acts as an advisor to the captain. The captain remains fully responsible, even should there be an accident in the pilotage area for which this particular pilot was functioning. So if I had run aground or had some other accident in the port of Wellington, it would have been my responsibility, even though I had the chief pilot aboard. So once pilot saw that things were moving smartly, and besides that, it was a straight shot from the entrance to the harbor all the way to the cruise terminal where we were going to be berthed for our stay there. Pilot and I went to the captain's chair, and I got myself up into the captain's chair, and he stood next to me, and we conversed back and forth, as captains like to do. We talked about ships that we had commanded, places that we had been, other pilots and pilotage that we had had in other parts of the world. It was a lovely, lovely conversation. Two professionals, two sailors who really immediately came to like each other. As he departed, when we tied up at the cruise terminal in Wellington, I escorted him down to the quarterdeck. The quarterdeck is the ceremonial center of the ship when she's in port. I escorted him to the quarterdeck, and he looked at me and he said, "Captain Joe." By this time, we had gotten to pilot and Captain Joe. "Captain Joe, would you be able to join us? I'm having the annual Christmas party at where I have all of the pilots come to my home who are not on duty, and we have our annual Christmas party." And I said, "Chief Pilot, I would be delighted to accept your kind invitation." He said, "I will send a vehicle for you at the appointed day and hour." And on the appointed day and hour, there was a vehicle and a driver. And it took me to the chief pilot's home. During the course of the evening, your captain acquired a certain heavy cargo. Those were days when ashore, I never drank at sea, but ashore, I would take more than just an occasional sip of sherry. And at this evening, Because everybody was off duty, one could make the point that a captain is never off duty, and he or she would be correct. But I had a wonderful XO, and I had a wonderful crew, and my ship was in really good hands. So I did indeed take on a somewhat heavy cargo. And as we came to the end of the evening, which actually was well into the next morning, chief pilot said, he said, Captain Joe, is there anything that we can do to make your visit here more enjoyable? And I said, the Port of Wellington has already been so gracious and so cordial, there's absolutely nothing that I could ask for. Each one of my crew members had a family to go to be hosted for the time that we were there. And so I said, the only thing that I've got that I have to have done tomorrow is that I observe the old sailor's tradition of carrying a live Christmas tree at the masthead during the Christmas season. The tree is hoisted up to the masthead. It has no decorations on it. It's just lashed there. And it is symbolic of the acceptance and the acknowledgement of all sailors that even during the holiday season when we're at sea, that we can also observe some of the ancient seagoing customs. And that one is one, alas, I suspect it is not observed anyplace anywhere in the world anymore. I said, I'm going to send my first lieutenant in our custom, in our tradition, in our organization, is the one who's in charge of everything having to do with the deck, boats, things like that. I'm sending my first lieutenant and a small but well-organized and trustworthy group to go and find a live Christmas tree to hoist to the masthead. And we have that organized. It's going to happen tomorrow. I was put back into the car. I think put back in is a kind way of putting it. I was put back into the vehicle and driven back to my home, the Coast Guard cutter Northwind. I made myself up the gangway. I was suitably greeted by the officer of the deck and by the quartermaster, and I went to my cabin to spend the rest of the morning and slightly into the morning. And I was lying there resting my eyes when the telephone over my bunk rang. And it was the officer of the deck, and he said, Captain, there is a very large tree, a very large evergreen tree, a spruce of some sort probably, on the quarterdeck, and it was delivered by the Wellington Harbor Board vehicle. And so he said, I await your instructions, because we were sending a party ashore to bring home a tree to put to the masthead. And I thought this through, and I remembered that we had been in the back garden of the home of the chief pilot, and that in the back of the back garden, it is always called a back garden in English tradition, not the backyard, the back garden, there was a row of about 40-foot tall evergreen trees. Could have been spruces, in fact. And I thought to myself, I wonder after I left, if a party did not go back to the back garden with a saw and take down one of those trees. And that's what I have on my quarterdeck, which is soon to be hoisted to the masthead. So I said to the officer of the deck, I said, my compliments to XO and to the first lieutenant. Would they please come to the cabin and I will issue my instructions as to what to do with that tree, which was to hoist it to the masthead, which was done suitably and immediately done. And in the meantime, I placed a call to Chief Pilot, and I said, Chief Pilot, Captain Joe here, Northwind, and this tree has magically appeared on my quarterdeck. And I wonder if you happen to be missing a tree in that row that's in your back garden. Well, Captain Joe, it's amazing that you should ask that question, because, in fact, there is a gap back there. One is missing. And my wife is somewhat disturbed with all of us because there was a work detail that went back there with a saw and took one of them out, and now you have it. And now it's going to go all the way to Antarctica with our love. And so that is how the Coast Guard cutter Northwind went to Antarctica with a 40-foot evergreen tree lashed to the masthead. There's a photograph someplace of this. And how when we came back through Wellington on our return voyage back to America, I made a point of making my number, not with Chief Pilot, but with Chief Pilot's wife. And I showed her the photograph, and I said, you were a part of something really great. Probably the only Coast Guard cutter in the entire world that was properly adorned with a Christmas tree, unlighted, undecorated, at the masthead. And I thank you for it. Well, she was somewhat mollified, but even today, the tree that was put in to replace the one that was cut down, I am sure, is not nearly as tall as its ones around it. It is to me, though, the symbolism of this is the Brotherhood of the Sea. That Chief Pilot and this young captain, I was a commander then, I had been selected for captain but had not yet been promoted, had come together, had told stories together, and had a wonderful evening together, and a need seen was a need fulfilled. I tell this story every year, every time that I do this broadcast at Christmas time. I tell this story because it is so symbolic to me of the brotherhood of those who have chosen to go to sea in difficult times and in difficult waters. And I think often my friend Chief Pilot certainly has to have crossed his own bar by now. But I think every year of that particular story, I tell it every year, I tell it to you now for the beauty of the story and for the symbolism of it. Now to a couple of things which are not so pleasant, not so happy. The first one is that we have talked some time about containers and containers going overboard in heavy weather. The APL England off of the coast of Australia, not too far from Sydney, rolled about 25 degrees. Now, 25-degree roll is as nothing to an icebreaker. An icebreaker will go over 45 degrees on a side because she has no bilge keels, and the round bottom encourages heavy rolling. They're designed to roll over, and they're designed to come back quickly. They have a little snap on the end of that roll if they're loaded correctly. She rolled about APL England, got into some heavy weather off of the coast of Australia near Sydney. She rolled about 25 degrees on a side and lost 50 containers over the side. The equivalent of the National Transportation Safety Board in Australia did an investigation, and they found, get ready for this, this one's no surprise, they found that many of the connectors that connect those two containers together were not doing their job because they were corroded. And we were failing, and as the ship rolled, and she rolled with a snap for sure, I'm absolutely certain of that, that some of those containers and some of those connectors snapped, and the containers went over the side. My guess is that there are literally millions of these connectors which are corroded, and hopefully the International Maritime Organization, IMO, which is the United Nations Maritime Organization, headquartered in London, right near Blackfriars Bridge, and is working this problem with some renewed vigor. I'm particularly happy to hear that because not too long ago, I reported here on that there were over 1,000 containers that were lost off of the coast of Japan. And those are in waters where I have steamed myself. And a low-lying container is something that you don't want to hit. So I am delighted that these things are now finally being taken seriously. The other one that I want to report is on the USNS Comfort. USNS Comfort is a hospital ship She's called USNS, United States Naval Ship, instead of USS, United States Ship, because she is manned by civilians who are employees of the Military Sealift Command. She was working off of the coast of Haiti, and she was doing humanitarian and medical work off the coast of Haiti. She had a crew ashore, and this crew was brought back out to comfort in a utility boat. The utility boat was being hoisted with the people still in her. There were about 30 people in the boat, and the hoist was not properly rigged, and it was not properly connected inside the boat. The boat, as she came up, rolled over, and people went into the water. I tell this particular story along with the APL England story because both of these stories reflect poorly on the command philosophies of the two commanding officers involved. You take a look at the comfort one. We hoist boats with people in them, in boats that are designed for this. This open utility boat was not designed for that. But somebody decided to take an expedient way rather than the seaman-like way. And that's exactly what happened here. Fortunately, no one was drowned, but it was a close-run thing. And the APL England case, again, nobody was lost. But those containers were bouncing around out there off the coast of Sydney for quite a while before they could be recovered. And there are hundreds of containers out there under sail, out in the ocean, being a threat to navigation. So the last thing that I have to say today is that I had a request from one of Captain Joe's people for a professional opinion on the part of Captain O'Brien, who is my source for all things airline. I approached the captain this morning with this question, and the answer became so convoluted, Byzantine, and complicated that I promised that I would have him come on with me, and I would ask the question then and then have him explain it to everybody. So I just want you to know that when you send me requests for information, I take all of those very seriously. I told you last week that I am deep, deep kimchi when it comes to getting caught up with my emails, but I am working that problem, and I will get everybody caught up. And so, Josh, your question does not remain unanswered. It's going to be answered directly by Captain O'Brien from the captain's chair. And we have come once again and far too quickly to the end of my time with you. As always, and especially at this holiday season when so many of my friends and colleagues are at sea, do I wish for each one of you the happiest and safest of holiday seasons in whatever way it is that you celebrate this holiday, whatever your religious tradition is, and if you have no religious tradition, then in whatever other way you celebrate this holiday. May it be the best one that you have had with your families, and that it be the safest one, so that when we foregather here next week, all of us are here to answer the call to quarters. So this is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair. As always, I say we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. I had some time with my granddaughter, Simonzi, over the week, and she and I have this tradition. We always say we never say goodbye. Cappy, we say, until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair, on station, and watching properly.